Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnistry Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
My bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders No Race. I am your host, King Davy Duck. We've got a very special episode planned for all of you today, as some of our friends from Wicked Anime, Scarlet Rhapsody, and Candy Co. Cosplay will be joining me on a special discussion on the upcoming reboot of Sailor Moon. A lot of tidbits about the show were revealed this past week, and we'll all be sharing our thoughts on every aspect that has been foretold. So, there won't be as much music on this podcast, but I'll still be spinning some tunes for all of you to enjoy, starting right now. So, as usual, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these albums and EPs from cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We're going to start things off with a track from the duo known as Puffy, who are gearing up for a springtime tour in support of their latest single, and hopefully that'll mean a new album could be coming out soon too. From their 2007 release, Bring It, this song is called Twilight Shooting Star.
Bye. てこみ please。 トワイライト主人さんもう一度連れてって、無限のバスで吹き消したくない、キャンドルとマイフェイス、キラキラ輝く魔法のプレゼント、思い出した、宇宙も未来も自分で生み出した、ノーリズムパー。
これはまるで空想、どこかで見た幼稚な映画のようだ。イワシの荒い空には感情のない灼熱の太陽、揺れる
album To Be or Not To Be. Some of you might be familiar with the work of Nightmare from such series as Death Note, Claymore, and Morio no Haku. And joining me right now is a panel of very intelligent anime reviewers. First and foremost, we have my buddies Andrew and Jonathan Fleming from Wicked Anime.
Yo.
Hello.
We've got Scarlet Pretty Kuyor from Scarlet Rhapsody.
Hello.
And finally, new to No Borders, No Race, we have from Candy Jam Cosplay, Candy Jam.
Hi!
Hi. So, we're going to be
so
taking...
bubbly. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yay. So, we're going to be talking about the new Sailor Moon anime. They just announced a bunch of great... They announced a bunch of things regarding the new series.
A bunch of things.
They revealed a lot about what's coming up with this anime. With first and foremost, it's premiering in July, right?
July 5th, yes, that is correct.
July 5th, it's coming out. We're going to have 26 episodes, and it's actually going to be a bi-weekly series. So you're going to
it's going to play for a year.
Yeah. But I feel like that could be, in my honest opinion, that could be a good thing, because that way the animators can take a little bit more time to make the show look a little bit better.
Well, the show, if you're animating a show, it's already complete. So like the production is already done.
At least half of it.
Yeah. So that's really not an issue. Because that's what I know in Japan it's different, but when you do make a TV show here in America, you animate something entirely and then you release it. That's why they usually cancel shows after a season is over, not like in the middle of a season, because it's already done, so they have to basically post all of it.
Yeah, that's why they couldn't take Alan Gregory off TV very quickly.
Yeah, I also have a couple running theories. We actually discussed this on the Bizarro Files, which is our pop culture podcast for Scarlet Rhapsody. Just a couple of theories why we're doing this bi-weekly. The most believable one that I could think off the top of my head, because this is a worldwide simulcast, is that because it'll be subtitled in 10 different languages, maybe like just giving the production team some time to subtitle episodes. But we also live in a world where anime can be subtitled within hours, but I guess maybe they're just trying to be meticulous and very detailed to get the right translations for the other countries who are getting the worldwide simulcast. So that's one theory. And the more believable theory I have is that they want to take their time with it, because one of the weaknesses of the original 90s series was there was like a lot of filler, and there were even some filler seasons. I mean, not as bad as Bleach's filler seasons, but we all know that can get...
Nothing's as bad as Bleach or Naruto filler.
Anywho, so they want to like just take their time with the story, and also... if you're running a show one season like that for a year, that's like a lot of time to like build hype and keep the hype on going, rather than just like half a year, because everyone's like Attack on Titan, like, oh, on to the next one. So you want to keep that momentum going. So that's like my theory on it.
I actually am gonna go right out and say I think your theory is wrong, because I think they're following the moon phases is what they're doing.
So well,
that's an interesting one. I kind of. I think, honestly, they just know what they have. They have Sailor Moon, the grandmother of all shoujo anime, and they are going to milk it for everything they got. So they're going to take it as slow as they can. They're not going to be like, hey guys, you get this episode. No, they're going to take it slow, and I'm sure with like every episode, you know, they're just going to have like giveaways or something to kind of get people more hyped. I mean, there's already been like, you know, speculation about dubbing, and it's like, it's not even subbed yet. Come on, guys, calm down.
I don't know if it's gonna be like Space Dandy fast dubbing. I think whenever it gets dubbed, they're gonna be taking its time, because Sailor Moon is something that's precious to the anime community, and everyone knows that. Anyone who tries to mess up the flow of Sailor Moon, they're basically gonna be like executed quickly.
Off with their heads, instant.
With seppuku thrown in there for good measure.
Yes.
Because they're Japanese, so.
That's racist.
Yeah,
so what is... someone posted about this on Facebook. I don't know if it was you, either of you guys, or if it was DJ Ranma, but there's a rumor that's going around that's saying that in order to watch this new Sailor Moon, you have to have the monthly subscription to Nico Video. Do you know if this is true at all?
You can just steal it online.
Speculation.
We can get you some sites.
I'm not really sure if that would be true, honestly, because from what I understand, the site itself does have issues with high traffic, and I kind of feel that when it gets closer, it's honestly going to be told that there's going to be other streaming companies that have it, because obviously one site alone is not going to be handled the massive amount of high traffic that's going to be coming for Sailor Moon.
Yeah, so, I was just about to say that. Can you imagine, like, we're talking about a site that already has high traffic to it. Now you're talking about high traffic going to a new Sailor Moon series.
Yeah, because
that high traffic alone is just from Japan. Imagine what happens when the world's going to go towards it.
Yeah, yeah, not to mention only having one site, like, regardless of whether or not it's true that this is happening, only having one site premiering this is actually a really bad business plan, just on the fact that if there's only, like, there's some people who are just not gonna go watch it because of that, you know? So
maybe what they could probably do is what they did with Attack on Titan and have it on, you know, Nico Video. They could have it on Crunchyroll. They could have it on Hulu, and whichever ones that you use and whichever ones you prefer.
Yeah,
I was thinking that they were going to do that anyway, because right now, because the image has been floating on a lot on Tumblr and on Facebook, that Toei is beginning to pitch Sailor Moon Crystal at various conferences for licensing intellectual properties. That's how that image of the English descriptor for Sailor Moon has been leaked, how we know we were getting 26 episodes at 30 minutes. But I imagine it would be more likely if Crunchyroll, Hulu, Viki, Neon Alley, depending who has the streaming rights, would be broadcasting it on the streaming service for their domestic respective markets. Because it's going to be huge.
Yes.
They don't even need to pitch it. All they got to say is, we're looking for people to broadcast the new Sailor Moon Crystal series. Any takers? And then it's just like the fastest who can throw their money the fastest to them.
I mean, it's possible even Netflix. Even Netflix might get in on this. Because, I mean, they did jump to grab the terrible Funimation sub for Attack on Titan. So they might be like, hey, look, we kind of want to get more into this anime scene. It seems to have a bit of money coming into it. Can we, you know, take a look at this? So, I mean, they might even get into it to try and boost sales.
That is true. That is true. Because I'm trying to think, which other ones would there be that would be able to stream something like that? Even something like Crackle, which shows a lot of Japanese anime too, but mostly dubbed anime. They could even get a hand on it, especially because of how big of a company that Sony is that owns Crackle. They could probably want a piece of the Sailor Moon.
I mean, maybe even YouTube, if like they want to like try and boost that like that really weird pay service that they have.
That would be really weird.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they might, because I mean, they so many people hate on them now. I mean, they might be like, "Hey guys, look, we have Sailor Moon. Stop hating us."
But okay. I remember that worked really well for Kadokawa when they were trying to do the simulcast of the Melancholy of Haruhi Chansuzumiya and Nyaron Chirozun-chan or something like that. But it was like the shorts that they were showing of the Haruhi Suzumiya world. And they were able to simulcast that in Japanese, subtitled in English, and they were able to do that no problem. And they could possibly do the same thing too with Sailor Moon. Why don't we go into the casting of Sailor Moon? Because I find it really interesting that only the original Sailor Moon, Kotono Mitsu, is it, how do you say that? Mitsuishi
Kotono.
Thank you very much.
Just call her Kotono to keep it simple.
Yeah, Kotono. She's the only returning cast member in all of Sailor Moon Crystal.
Echo.
So, what I'm wondering is, why didn't anybody else from the original cast return? Or did Toei just not offer the roles to the original cast members and just the original Sailor Moon?
Kind of sounds like a gimmick.
Maybe. I mean, it could also be like, you know, cast members not really wanting to return. I mean, we saw it happen when Inuyasha Final... What was it? Final something. Final whatever.
Final act.
Final act, that one. I was going to call it Final Draft. I'm like, no, that was the brony that was kicked out of the con. When that came on, I remember distinctively Sesshomaru, Kagome, and a few other of the English voice actors refused to return. They were like, you know what, we're done. We're not doing this anymore. We're not going to return. So, I mean, it could easily be something like that. That, you know, they were like, hey, we don't really want to return. Or maybe they didn't feel like it was a good enough deal for them. Or it could be that Toei was just like, you know what, we don't want you. We just want her because she's the name.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true. But I will say who is coming on to here, who's going to be playing Mercury, Mars, Jupiter, and Venus. These aren't just, you know, these aren't amateur voice actresses by any means. These are people that actually have a very impressive resume.
They have a very extensive resume. And they have, like, non-anime roles and a lot of other. Like, they do gaming and whatnot. So it's very clear that they didn't take any, like, little tiny jumps. They're like, oh, we're just going to grab whoever. No, they were like, no, we're going to get the best we can.
Right. And one of my picks, one of my favorites that got chosen... has to be Shizuka Ito, because I loved her as Hinagitu in Hayate the Combat Butler. And I feel like the voice that she brings to that character is perfect for Minako.
They have a really great cast lined up, and to just go back to why they hired like new blood is... When you have like a new cast, it can bring like a fresh take to the characters. And also... I do know that some of the voice actors that originally worked on Sailor Moon are now retired, and they're doing their own thing now. So, and a lot of the actors that are cast in Sailor Moon have done a lot of work for Toei, so they've also had experience doing magical girl stuff. But the one I'm excited for is Jupiter, because it's Ryuko Metoi from Kill la Kill, and that's perfect.
That's right, I forgot about that.
Do you think this Sailor Jupiter is going to have a Senketsu?
Maybe. Anything's possible. Sailor Moon
does have a fight in a sailor uniform. What more do you want?
I thought it was really funny because with her initial like interview, how she was playing Jupiter, she said that she really wanted to play Sailor Mars because whenever she would play Sailor Moon with her friends as a little girl, she always wanted to be Mars, but because she was so much taller than the other girls, they always made her play Jupiter.
That's so cute.
So now she's actually Jupiter. Oh, no, now she's actually Mars.
She's Mars, yeah.
Yeah, now she's actually Mars.
Oh, so you're talking about Rina Sato.
Yes, I'm talking about Rina Sato.
Because the only role that I've really heard her in was as Negi Springfield and Negima.
I'm really not up on my Japanese voice actresses.
We've kind of had that conversation when we were doing Space Dandy.
I'm seeing what else. She was in Blue Exorcist as well. She was Shira Kira Ga Kure. Yeah, I'm so horrible at the last names. But yeah, she was in that, and she did Gurren Lagann, Eureka 7. Let me see. Oh, she did Corpse Party. Oh, that means she can scream. Ooh, Vinny. if you can do Corpse Party, you're definitely automatically on my good list.
Well, considering the attacks that Sailor Mars screams out, she'll be perfect for that.
Yep. Also, Hellgirl. I know that's not really common-based anime, but it was a really good one.
Oh, no, it is for me.
Yeah, I watched Hellgirl.
She was Yuka in Hellgirl.
Okay.
I'm also actually kind of excited about Hisako Kanemoto as Sailor Mercury because I loved her. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the anime Kotora Sun. It's where it's the girl who can, like, hear people's thoughts.
Talk about an anime I've seen.
I'm sorry. All right, how about Brunhilde from Bodacious Space Pirates?
No.
How did you not see Bodacious Space
episode
Pirates?
Episode 1 sucked. We saw the first episode, and it was okay. We just didn't finish watching it. I'm just excited for Sailor Mercury because Sailor Mercury is my favorite Sailor Scout. So,
my favorite has yet to be announced. I'm Chibi Moon. I even cosplay her. She was my favorite. Everyone hated her, but she was my favorite.
Well, that character wouldn't come for a while. Maybe.
So I'm waiting.
Probably next season.
Yeah, probably. I'm just sitting here like, I want my Chibi Moon, and I'm not even getting any products, nothing. Everyone else is like, look, my favorite Sailor Scout. And I'm like, I don't have
Sailor Mercury everywhere amongst all the nerds.
Hey, I was into Sailor Venus as a kid.
Okay, there you go. Well, Sailor Mercury for me. How about you, Jonathan?
Oh, gee, I don't really know. Probably Venus. Yeah, probably Sailor Venus.
Venus is very popular. Everybody loves
Venus. Yeah, me and Peter Payne are on the same page with that one.
Yeah, when I went to Otakon, the most popular cosplay Sailor Senshi was Mars, and we had like a huge group of like Mars cosplayers. They're like, the one time I didn't bring my Super Sailor Mars, I was wearing Pluto to that thing.
There's no longer a planet.
Well, Sailor Moon's not a planet.
They've got some esoteric galactic stuff in there, too. Like, if they're going to follow the manga, they're probably going to bring in the Sailor Asteroids.
So when's Sailor Gallifrey going to come?
Oh, yes.
Maybe Sailor Pluto is Sailor Gallifrey. She is controls the time and stuff, and her time key might as well be a sonic screwdriver, and her that gives the time might as well be a TARDIS. It's bigger
Sailor
on the inside.
Pluto's wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Okay, I did this masquerade act at Kinetic Con last year.
I saw you. I was like,
yeah, I cosplayed as Sailor Pluto, and this was before Peter Capaldi was announced as the 12th Doctor, and I just made it look like that I went from Matt Smith to Sailor Pluto as the 12th Doctor, and Rini was my companion.
Not bad.
I don't get any of that.
We're in the wrong fandom.
All right, why don't we take a break so we can explain to Andrew and Jonathan what that all means.
Please do.
All right, so right now we're going to spin a little something from Antigone Rising, who just released a new EP called Whiskey and Wine, Volume 1. And for those who are wondering when Volume 2 is coming out, it'll be sometime in October. From this first EP, this track is called That Was the Whiskey.
I want wine.
Just で駆け抜けてみせた。ありふれた地図も知恵も持たずに、鎖に繋がれ生きとらえてもまだ消さずに見る空未来。カナリアなく空が見える。俺の部屋ただ一つの居場所で、墓掘りのライン消えた街罪隠し込んだ。まるで脱獄さまよった後で本に書かれた運命の犠牲も切り裂く日々。明日の彼方溜め込んだ怒り破り捨てた。
Orchestra with The Sky Calls the Canary, a selection from their Best of Tokyo Ska 1998 to 2007 compilation. They are about to release a new single alongside their pals in Asian Kung Fu Generation, where it'll have three songs and four different versions. So,
that sounds amazing. I love both those bands so much.
Yeah, me too. So going back into Sailor Moon, and let's touch on something that I know Andrew and Jonathan really want to talk about with Sailor Moon, and that is the art style.
Oh, yep. we are going to touch on
now,
many things.
Yeah. Now, see the initial art style is fantastic.
Yeah, the shoujo, the classic shoujo look.
But granted, yes. I was hoping, you know, when you go in and reboot a show, you kind of hope for a little bit more variation in the characters. Such as when they released the new Thundercats series, all the Thundercats look completely different, practically. And they had great designs and awesome designs, where the Sailor Scouts look almost exactly the same. They just kind of look updated to 2013.
And they
14.
Have,
it's 2014 now.
2014.
Oh, no, let's not forget, they have giraffe legs.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. The three. You made the point of three of the Sailor Scouts look like they had broken legs.
That was just the initial concept. Okay.
That's just the initial concept. Yeah. They're standing really weird with their knees bent to the inside, and that is anatomically very incorrect.
Yeah, their knees bending inwards while their toes point outwards. Now, here's my thing. That's just the initial concept art, and I have seen a lot of concept art for shows that I actually am not a fan of. Let me give you an example. I was not a fan of the concept art of Avatar The Last Airbender. And that's just the concept art of it. But when it's put into motion in the show, you know, it looks great. And I think I'm not going to say and make a final judgment on the show's art itself until I see it in animation altogether.
Though I will say I'm very excited for the art because, yes, it is updated and it looks shiny and nice. This is just an initial thought, obviously. I just kind of wish they looked a little different, you know? They didn't look like the same Sailor Scouts.
Well, I will say, in my opinion, like, I do like the look. It's nice and bright. But I know, like what you said about it, not yet being seen in motion. It looks too clean. I don't know what's the best way to describe
it. It doesn't have that hand drawn cell speckles from the 80s.
Exactly. You know what? That's actually exactly what I mean, because I feel like there was a lot more. I felt like the characters in the 90s compared to this new design. It feels like the one in the 90s has a lot more like soul put into the characters.
Well, everything that's hand drawn has more soul in it, Evan. Every artist knows that.
I know.
It's just really strange to me that, like, they kind of have that old classic shoujo feel to it, like in the way that the manga was put together. Yet they're still moe-ifying it in the same way that this new generation of anime is going. For example, who could have thought that their skirts could have gotten any possibly shorter than they were in the original show? Well, they certainly are. Yes. I mean, like, it's almost
their skirts aren't shorter; their legs are longer.
No, that's really true. And Sailor Jupiter is like the size of Shaquille O'Neal.
Well, she was the tall one.
Well, so. She was, but even still, she's like two heads above Usagi. Now, so
I can't wait to see what it looks like in motion.
Yeah,
it's gonna look great.
Same here. But Scarlet and Candy Jam, what did you two think of this whole new look for Sailor Moon?
Like Andrew said, it's concept art, so it might not be the final product, and would be nice to see everything in motion. Like even maybe a transformation sequence would have been nice. But I feel the designs are very pastel, which I really have no problem. It has a very softer kind of color tone compared to, like, the 90s anime. I didn't mind so much the character designs looking pretty much the same as they were in the manga, because if it does follow the manga, the outfits go through, like, so many evolutions. Like, I was just rereading the third season in the manga, and, like, oh, I didn't know they went through, like, so many accessory changes. Like, by the way, here's a new brooch. By the way, you're going to get this now. And but I also like the fact that there was, like, just little things here and there. I thought the addition of Mercury having a sweater looked really cute. But like I said, I would like to see everything in motion. I don't think they're bad at all. I think they look gorgeously drawn. And if anything, it kind of reminds me of a hybrid of Winx Club. And
oh, God, not that.
It reminds me a little bit of Winx Club. And then since a lot of the production team involved with Sailor Moon Crystal were from Sweet Pretty Cure, they do look a lot like the characters in Sweet Pretty Cure, albeit longer legs, and all. Which is funny because Mitsuishi Kotono voiced their cat guardian thing in Sweet Pretty Cure. Fun fact, Candy Jam, go.
I really enjoyed it. I felt there was the only thing that really got to me was shoujo leg. Shoujo leg, it's the yaoi hands of the shoujo world. Longer the legs.
She's got legs. She knows how to use them.
I really enjoyed it. I know that there were people actually complaining about going, oh, it's not perfect to the manga, and they were like pointing out like little tiny things, and I'm like, so because Mars doesn't have the little jewel at her waist, it's somehow inaccurate? Okay, I feel like a lot of people forget that probably during the time period that she was drawing these characters was in a very different time period, like early 80s, late 90s, which was very bizazzled.
Yeah.
Gem in the Hologram world. Tools everywhere. So I was like, if she didn't like it, she would have said something about it. She, like, because she's, like, really heavily involved in the making of this. So if she decided, hey, look, I don't want the gem here, but you definitely need to include Venus's belt, then yeah, I mean, they look really awesome. I mean, I'm really happy that Mercury got her sleeveless look. I'm sure every Mercury cosplayer is going to be like, yay! Let's
tear off the sleeves!
Yeah!
It's so hot in here!
I'm free! But I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to what else they come up with. The only thing that I'm a little sad about is no more crazy late 80s, early 90s fashion from Mamoru and the rest of them, because I loved his stupid outfits growing up. I was like, he looks so dumb, but it's so awesome.
Well, who knows? Maybe the 80s fashions are still making a comeback over in Japan.
So maybe we'll get some hints. I'm really hoping they do make a callback to, like, the ugly fashions of the old series, because that would be funny as hell. The only thing that was kind of concerned that I didn't really see anything was the cats. I was like, I would really like to see how...
Oh, yeah,
that's a good point. I never thought of that.
I would love to see how they're going to do Luna and Artemis. I'm like, are they going to be, like, are they going to make them more animalistic, or are they going to make their eyes smaller?
They're going to be tigers now.
Yeah, like, what are they going to do? And when everything was released, I was kind of like, well, I granted a Tuxedo Mask. I mean, you're not really going to be able to update that, and tuxedos are still technically in fashion, so.
Technically.
You're not really going to have anything to update there, and, I mean, I don't think they're really going to update his design, really. So I guess they felt like everybody would want to see the girls first. But now that it's getting kind of closer, I'm like, I want to see the cats. Let me see the cats. So I love the designs, but I want to see the cats in my Chibi Moon.
Yeah, I would like to see the secondary characters, too. I thought they were also going to reveal that. But I guess just to build up hype, just to trickle things down slowly. They want, like, okay, let's keep building hype. Let's keep building hype. Trickling everything slowly.
All right.
In pieces.
Hopefully they're doing that. So before we even started recording, we were talking about I brought up the theme song of Sailor Moon, Moonlight Densetsu, being performed by Mamori Clover Z, and just why does it have to be a shitty pop idol group performing this song?
That's a good question.
Are they in any way attached to the company, though? Like,
no, they're not.
Oh, so there is no, like, marketing, like, angle there.
No.
That's kind of weird. But yeah, I mean, why not bring back the old song and just remaster it? Maybe make, like, an acoustic version. I mean,
dubstep version.
Oh, gosh. No, people have actually been starting asking when anime is going to have dubstep openings, so please don't. No.
2 years.
2 years.
2 years.
It's long gone movie. By now. Tekken already used all their dubsteps, so Tekken did it first, and then I think everybody else missed their chance.
Yeah. Well, here was my idea. This is what I feel like they should have done. Considering how big of an appeal of this show as worldwide, they could have easily gotten some of, like, the biggest singers in the world to perform it, like a big collaborative project. Imagine if you had, like, Amy Lee from Evanescence, Florence Wells from Florence and the Machine from the UK, Nanni Grönvall from Sweden. If you never heard Nanni, she did this. One of her songs was featured in a Princess Tutu AMV. The How Long?
Oh, yeah,
her.
One.
Ayumi Hamasaki from Japan, and then Kylie Minogue of Australia. Five of these musicians singing this song that's, like, known worldwide. Imagine how huge that would be.
So now, is the theme song, is it the same song, or is it just a completely different song, no Sailor Moon theme song?
From what I hear, it is going to be the same song, because when they announced it last year, what was it, like, or when it was supposed to be last year, 2012, they said, this is the band that's going to be performing Moonlight Densetsu.
See, that's all I really want, is I want it to be the same theme song. It'll just be interesting to see how it comes out.
There's something very memorable about Moonlight Densetsu that I really like, because when I started watching the Tokusatsu Sailor Moon, the live-action one, their opening theme wasn't so memorable.
Neither was that serious, though.
So, I guess maybe the final question I can ask all of you is, what are you hoping to expect from these 26 episodes? What do you hope to see?
Better toys.
Better toys?
Better toys. Like, physically, like Hasbro making toys, or like better gadgets that they're using in the show?
Both.
Both, okay. Both. Yeah, everybody wants Mercury's, like, info goggles. So.
Yeah,
it's her Oculus Rift.
Yeah.
No. That was basically the girls' version of the Dragon Ball Z, you know, Saiyan scanner things.
It could actually technically be the Google Glasses.
Yeah, Google Glass, exactly.
What I would want to see out of the show, most people shouldn't be surprised by my answer if you know me well enough, but I kind of want to see a better story, or a more fleshed out story rather than just a monster of the week or enemy of the week per se kind of thing happening like it did in the original series. I know that there was an overarching story, and by the end it got super heavy, but like when it started out it was kind of like the same thing that season one of Bleach did, where it was just kind of like, oh, bad guy, ha! And then that's it.
I want to see Sailor Mercury still be awesome, and it would be cool if they all died at the end still. Because that was, I know that is a weird answer, but that was awesome. Like, the end of the original Sailor Moon is like, oh my gosh, they all died? What am I watching? Like, you know, it's just, like, so cool.
This was supposed to be happy.
Yeah.
Of course, they cut that out in the original version when it first aired in America.
They aired it in America, yeah.
Everyone's sleeping right now, children. Don't worry, they'll be back. And
they've been blasted to another dimension.
Yeah, and then they brought them back in the next season, like in Japan, all of a sudden, like everything's okay. Like, it never happened.
There was actually a backstory to that. So, essentially, Naoko Takeuchi was told there would only be one season of Sailor Moon, and she was like, okay, F it, I'm just going to kill off these characters, and we'll have a finite ending right there. And like, oh, by the way, Naoko, your show's popular. We're going to give you this filler arc before we start to like continue where the manga is right now, and we're going to bring them back to life.
Oh.
That's pretty much the backstory to that.
They're just really like, oh, we're just doing a quick deal redo here. Didn't happen. Totally.
Yeah, it was... I mean,
Queen Beryl's still gone, mind you, but everything else that happened didn't happen.
Every artist and writer knows that it's such a bold move to kill characters. So when you kill a character, I love killing characters in my stories. I love killing characters.
So does George R. Martin.
I mean, you have to do it correctly. And I felt like the ending to that, like, because the story is so, it was there, but it, you know, it's not as fleshed out as, you know, usual stories are. Because it was an 80s show, or 90s show, whenever it came out. It was so well done. Like, I felt like that was important that happened. So if they still do it right, it won't be as big of a surprise, but I don't know. I mean, that'd be cool.
Okay.
That's a legitimate answer, but like a legitimate answer.
Yeah, that is a legitimate answer.
Yeah.
More fan service.
More fan service. I don't think so. No. That's fine.
We've already
keep
got
fan
the
service
we've
away
already
from
got
my
the skirt short enough. That's plenty flint.
Yeah, keep
service.
Sexier transformation sequences. Yeah, keep the fan service out of my Sailor Moon, please.
All right, Candy Jam, what about you? What do you hope to see with this new series?
Another big thing I really want to see is more of the humanized cats. Because it was in the manga, and they only had like one little incident of it in the original anime. I mean, as much as I love the grumpy cat that fell for Luna, the grumpy fat cat, I remember him, he was my favorite. He was awesome. And he fell in love with Luna, but I really want to see more of the humanized cats, especially Diana, because she was just adorable. My favorite, and I actually stick a moon sticker to my corgi and call her Diana now and then, but
yeah,
she's not too pleased about it because she doesn't like having a tail. So I want to see that. I also am kind of curious if they are going to keep the original story of the Gemstone Generals. Where are they?
The Gemstone Generals.
I don't know. It's
the Stardust Crusaders.
Yeah, the ones that are all named after the ones that Queen Beryl took over, but they actually were with Endymion, like, and they're all named after different minerals and gemstones, zoisite and the one that was like gay, and see, this is how much I
there's a gay stone. What?
Well, was only gay in the anime.
Yeah, they were gay in the anime, and then they changed the sex in the American one because they were like, no, we can't have that act. Which honestly makes me laugh when I think of Uranus and Neptune, and they couldn't even be bothered to remove the romantic music, so kids like me were like, so they're kissing cousins?
That's not weird in Japan.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not weird.
I know, but it was...
I've never seen Cardcaptor Sakura.
I want to see story, if the story keeps where those generals are the lovers of the Sailor Scouts, where they're supposed to end up with the Sailor Scouts.
Okay. So
I'm wondering if they're going to keep that or if they're going to push it to the side like the original anime did. But they have said that they are trying to keep it more toward the manga, so that means that the generals will continue to be relevant, because I know Mamoru, he had them in his drawer because they returned to their gem states, and he would consult them when he was worried and stuff about Usagi. Oh, another thing about that, no more Mamoru breaking up with her just to protect her, because it clearly didn't work the first 400 times. So,
yeah, you're right.
Because that always annoyed me as a kid. I was like, you know what, you're a douche.
That's what you would say as a kid, too. You're a douche.
We weren't allowed to have swear words, so we actually looked up in the dictionary what we were allowed to say. So I learned douche at a very young age.
Good for you, then. Good for you. All right. Fleming's, Scarlet, Candy Jam, thank you so much for joining me here on No Borders Erased this week. Why don't you guys do a little plugging right now so people can check out your stuff?
Sure. I'll start. If you want to join it, maybe if you want to shoot over to Wicked Anime and you want to join our conversation, you can email us. You can find us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That is wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. You can also find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you can find our podcast and our review episodes on YouTube, where you can also find us on youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. We're also available on iTunes and
Facebook,
facebook.com/wickedanime, and Tumblr.
Awesome. Scarlet.
All right. So you can follow Scarlet Rhapsody on Facebook. Just type in Scarlet Rhapsody. You can check us out on the web, scarlet-rhapsody.net. We've got podcasts, convention reviews. We actually do have our own take on Sailor Moon Crystal on our site, and I also just recently published an editorial, Top 10 Things I'd Like to See in Sailor Moon Crystal. So go check that out.
Excellent. And then Candy Jam.
Hi guys, Candy Jam from Candy Co. Cosplay. I cosplay with my dear best friend Sketchy, who is Candy Shell. You can find us at Facebook at Candy Jam Cosplay. It is actually Candy Co. Cosplay, but Facebook will not allow me to change the name at this time, so oh well. Also, if you guys want to check out a much cuter cosplayer, you can head on over to Corginator Cosplay at Facebook.com. She is my little corgi who also does cosplay. She hates it, but she loves the attention.
You're my dog now! You must do these things for me.
Oh, she loves dressing up, and as long as somebody is there to watch her. Otherwise, she hates it.
That's awesome.
But if you want to check her out, she every now and then will post a video about things she likes and her little antics. A lot of them will include ripping up her favorite stuffed toys. She's like a little hyena. She just rips it all open, and it's all over the floor, so it's very much fun. And she does attend conventions. Her biggest convention is at Anime Boston. So if anybody wants to meet her in person, you can head to that con or to the Boston meets.
Awesome. Guys, thank you again so much for coming on today.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right. Coming up next, we've got some Kotoko, who released a new album last year called Kuchu Puzzle. Here's a track from that record. It's called Light My Fire.
I was the only one thinking that. I was like, I'm going to
Nobody can.
An up-and-coming act from the Boston area, that was the Naked Stills with Impossible from their debut album, Cochecho. They are touring across New England this summer with stops in Providence, Cambridge, and Plymouth. For more information, visit their official site at thenakedstills.com. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're in a band and want to be showcased on our show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei for our Naza Naza the Young Ghost segment, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. I'm on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. And you can like us on facebook.com/Boston Bash Brigade. And do not forget about the other shows under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues Program. My thanks to Andrew and Jonathan from Wicked Anime, Scarlet Pretty Kira from Scarlet Rhapsody, and Candy Jam from Candy Co. Cosplay for joining me on this podcast episode. Always a great bunch of people to chat with and hang out with. I'll have links to their sites and Facebook pages in this official post, so please be sure to check their stuff out as well. We're going to end the show with some Scandal. The band, not something controversial. I've been watching this band since I saw them at Japan Night 2008, where they were touring America when they were still in high school. Since then, they've recorded songs for Bleach and Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, and have been hitting the road to playing sold-out shows all over Asia. This is their newest single, Departure. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
Thank you.